No answer for Google.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. France and Germany have been searching for an answer to Google. They've been working on a European search engine that could compete with it. But Germany has decided to back out of the project. Here's Thomas Crampton of the International Herald Tribune.
The project first came out in April when French President Jacques Chirac spoke about it. Then Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder agreed to it, and their idea was we need to have a European answer to the dominance of Google in the search area.
Kevin O'Brien of the Herald Tribune says there could be some political motivation behind this.
The sensitivity around the anti-Google nature of the effort caused many here in Germany to think twice. Germany now leading the G8 and the six-month rotating presidency of the EU, it was a clear message that Germany wasn't going to help finance this type of an effort.
Germany plans to develop its own search engine called Theseus. France, meanwhile, is expected to continue with the Quero project without the Germans. A British company wants to build the first factory for making plastic semiconductors. This technology could cut the price of electronic circuitry by up to 90%. Stephen Beard has more from London.
Plastic Logic, which is based in Cambridge, will build a new factory in Germany by the end of next year. Manufacturing the plastic chips will be much simpler, cheaper and cleaner than for silicon, says Hermann Hauser, who helped create and finance the company.
It's a solution process which happens at room temperature, as opposed to without any nasty chemicals, as opposed to silicon processing, which needs very high temperatures and very toxic substances.
The product is not yet as fast as the silicon chip and won't be used in microprocessors. The first applications are likely to be light, tough and flexible display screens. The company says it could achieve annual sales of more than $1 billion within the next decade. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The U.S. markets reopened today after 4 days off. In Europe, shares shrugged off weaker mining stocks to hover at near six-year highs. Japan's markets were still closed today for the New Year's. In Thailand, stocks tumbled 3% as a string of bombings over the New Year's shook investor confidence. Oil prices slid toward $60 a barrel. Those evil trans fats. Fast food restaurants are cutting them out, and now so is Starbucks. Starting this week, about half of Starbucks coffee shops will serve up muffins and pastries without trans fats. By the end of the year, all of the stores will have trans fat-free goodies. Trail mix has a lot of things in it. I'm pretty sure glass isn't supposed to be one of them. Walmart has recalled a house brand of trail mix after three customers found glass or hard plastic inside the bags. The stores have removed Sam's Choice Nature Trail Mix. The mix was supplied by Maryland-based Anne's House of Nuts. This is Marketplace. Governors around the country will throw their inauguration parties this month. As Jeff Tyler reports, these are an invitation for corporate America.
In Massachusetts, corporations can't give money to political campaigns, but they can chip in as much as $50,000 to help celebrate the newly elected Democratic governor. In California, Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger plans an expensive inaugural bash. To pay for it, companies like Chevron have donated as much as $50,000. Edwin Bender with the National Institute on Money and State Politics says these contributions, often unregulated, allow companies to buy influence.
It's a business decision. And they're giving money so they can have access to a lawmaker who will be considering policy that may or may not affect their bottom line.
Because the inaugural donations are made after the election is over, Bender says they often get less public scrutiny. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by Medtronic, supporting the Children's Heart Foundation's It's My Heart, a book for families affected by heart defects. Copies at childrensheartfoundation.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. If you're dying to get into politics, better hop to it. The new Democratic Congress gets sworn in tomorrow. As Hillary Wackay reports, this could be a great job opportunity.
Hundreds of jobs on Capitol Hill need to be filled. Some require lots of previous political experience. Others are grunt jobs, like researchers and receptionists. One of the many job hopefuls is Brianna Chesser. She left California and is staying with friends while she fires off 10 to 30 resumes a week. She knows the jobs have long hours and low pay.
I do believe in the Democratic cause, and I do want a job that makes a difference. And I do definitely see things like Hill Jobs as a stepping stone to doing something really glamorous like nonprofit advocacy for things like civil rights or women's rights.
In addition to congressional offices, a couple hundred committees and subcommittees are hiring as the new Democratic leadership staffs up. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
The country's lowest paid workers could see an immediate benefit from the new Congress. The Democrats want to raise the federal minimum wage from $5.15 to $7.25 an hour. President Bush says he'll sign the bill, but only if it contains new tax breaks for small business. But commentator Robert Reich says Congress should pay no attention.
Small businesses don't need new tax breaks because the minimum wage increase won't actually impose new burdens on them. First of all, virtually all small businesses that pay the minimum wage compete in the local service economy. They're retailers, contractors, providers of elder care and child care, local hospitals. They don't compete internationally or even nationally. Their competitors are in the same city or town, and all of them will be paying the same minimum wage increase. So it's likely that the increase will be passed on to consumers. Besides, it's not really an increase anyway. The current minimum wage was enacted 10 years ago, and inflation since then has eroded its value so much that the new proposed minimum is more like an inflation adjustment than a real increase. Most small businesses charge prices that have risen with inflation, so it's only fair that their employees' wages should rise with inflation, too. In fact, a minimum wage hike may actually help small businesses. Evidence from states that have already increased their own minimum wages suggests that a modest increase convinces more people to enter the labor market. People like retirees, spouses, or teenagers who wouldn't bother working at a lower minimum wage. For all these reasons, small businesses won't be harmed by the proposed minimum wage increase and don't need a tax cut. The nation can't afford a tax cut anyway. Democrats have pledged to restore fiscal responsibility by requiring that any new tax cuts be fully paid for. Maybe this is why the president says he's willing to sign on. He wants to seem in favor of a minimum wage increase because it's so popular, but he doesn't really want it. So his talk of a small business tax cut is just a ploy to give him an excuse to veto it.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich teaches public policy now at the University of California, Berkeley. Your thoughts, they're always welcome at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Call it.